welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com here from the El Pacifico, a Friday night. This is the final day in our third week of a reboot here of our radio show. I'm Phil Hendry. With me is Margaret Gray, Bud Leonard, or Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Don't say anything, because every time I make a mistake around here. We're very happy to be with you tonight. We have with us Mr. Stephen Bozell is going to be discussing the whole NSA and spying thing, which has gotten so much conversation and so much discussion going around the country. Who's spying on who and why? And why is the government doing all the things that they're doing? And why is there this and why is there that? And why is there even a Patriot Act? You know, Steve Bozell joins us here on the Phil Hendry Show from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell is a very familiar person to many people in our audience. Because, Steve, you have, you've done your fair share of taking on the powers that be with a lot of different lawsuits.
Well, you know, Phil, it's nothing that you want to do. It's nothing that you hope to do. And but that's a legacy that I want to leave to my children and leave to my wife. God bless the all of them. You know, I'm hoping someday that they will, benefit from the things, the work what I've done here.
All right, so let's talk about the National Security Agency, this Patriot Act provision, which is allowed for many years, allowed for the domestic surveillance of people, phone records, so on and so forth. Let me ask you what your plan of attack is as a private citizen, what you would encourage the Obama. You've got some kind of noise in the background there. What's going on?
Oh, that's a fire. They're fired scooping water right now, because where we live is in a cul-de-sac here, Phil. We did have some fires here earlier.
Is your home okay?
Oh yeah, our home's fine, but we're allowing the fire department to use, and we're very fortunate that we have this resource, Phil. That we're allowing the fire department to use the small lake that I have on my property here to use to scoop water and to deal with this fire.
Where is the fire now?
The fire is. Approximately, I'd say, it's not a big fire, it's in the Barranca, and they have it contained. They're using water just to really soak the ground around it. It is in a Barranca, probably not more than, I'd say, a quarter of a mile away.
So are any homes threatened?
No, sir. We don't have any homes threatened right now. We almost did have some homes threatened up here in the in Collier, right up here in Collier on the Ridge. And there are two other subdivisions that are relatively new. We're in an older area of the city, and so a lot of the homes around here are further spread out. We have a couple of acres here, and
That was zoned for horses and stuff originally.
Yes, sir. It was originally zoned for to have livestock, to have some farmbred animals, horses, and so that's why our property's a little bit bigger.
All right, I didn't mean to get sidetracked. We're talking with Steve Bozell in Corona, California here. And what you're hearing in the background, folks, is a some kind of a fire department plane, right?
Yes, sir.
And they scooped the water up?
Yes, sir. And we went ahead and gave them permission to go ahead and use our pond. And there's other areas around here, lakes around here that they can use. Probably up there at Butler. There's a recreation area. And
if it's an emergency, they can go ahead and just do what they got to do, right?
I'm sorry?
If it's an emergency, they can go ahead and do what they have to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, they can go ahead and do what they got to do, but we hope and we certainly do expect that they will at least engage in the ritual of asking permission, may we use the water, because what happens is, Mr. Henry, you're gonna have, I got family members here, and if they see me standing near a pond or near a body of water that I own, and the fire department has just made a unilateral decision, oh, there's some water there, let's take that, and no one has consulted with me. It tends to debilitate your strength, in front of your family. It tends to debilitate, it emasculates, and it sounds childish.
Well, but if you have an emergency...
Yeah, okay, hold on. If you have an emergency, of course... But at some point, I'd like them to at least come over in front of my children and say, may we use your water instead of taking it, because that will tend to... Children are... They see everything in black and white. And the man may just be there taking the water, and maybe there was a misunderstanding. But for a child, their father just basically had to submit to a humiliating act, and a child doesn't see it that way.
Well, children, I think children, well, you know what, Steve, you're absolutely right. You're the father. Good luck to you on that.
I don't need it. Yeah, thank you very much, but I've got it under control. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Steve Bozell with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We've got Steve on because we want to talk to him about the NSA and about this surveillance of American citizens and so on and so forth. When did you decide to get involved in this issue?
When the original Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden stories broke, I wanted to look into it because I had voted for President McLean, not for John McCain, and then I voted for Mitt Romney. And now comes Obama, and we found out about domestic spying. So the first thing I want to find out was this something that Obama did? And I found out, and I think a lot of Americans probably, that this really started with Bush. And
with the Patriot Act following 9/11.
Yes, with the Patriot Act. And Obama was saying, well, that's what's going on. Here comes another one right now. See, my kids are out here right now. See, Dad gave us permission. Yeah, I gave permission, honey. My daughter is asking why they're doing what they're doing. My daughter goes to CK Corona School, and it is a very liberal school, and she will report back to the teachers.
No, I know. You've given me that the impression that I have of that relationship seems very strange. We've talked about that. Staying with the topic.
Yes, sir.
Staying with the topic is the NSA. So Obama and all of this NSA surveillance, all of these things going on with the security apparatus of the country, born of the country's fears following 9/11.
Yeah. And they take the airplane. Say it again, Phil.
I said, if you're distracted, sir, do you want me to...
No, I'm fine. And my daughter is just to see. Here comes again. Now watch what happened. Yeah, I gave permission. My daughter's concerned. I gave permission. Yeah, look at that right there. See? Look at it. I gave him permission to do that. My daughter's concerned that I didn't give permission. I'm sorry? Hold on. Castration? My daughter's talking about... No, honey. No. Daddy's not castrated. Wow.
What happened?
Well, I think you know. Okay, what do you want to talk about?
I want to continue to talk about the NSA and the domestic, surveillance, spying. Are you all right?
Not really. My daughter just said that I look like I've been castrated by the fire department because I'm standing here. April, honey, why don't you talk to my wife is here. Why don't you take her inside and get her out of here? Just get her. Because I know that she's going to report that to the school. Wow.
Are you going to be able to go on with this interview?
Yes, sir, I will.
Because the distractions here, including the noise...
Well, I have to be here to make sure they don't take... I have to be here to make sure that they take the right amount of water. Can you hear me, Phil?
I barely hear you, sir. If we're going to have a discussion, I need to be able to hear you. Let's take a break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I would ask my engineer, Bud Dickman, if you wouldn't mind, get on the horn. The phone.
All right, wait.
Don't go reaching for a bugle. What is that thing doing in here, by the way?
That was the horn that Dean Wheeler wanted us to destroy that he got from that lady.
Not the lady. That's the horn that he didn't like in Emeralda's the horn player.
What are we doing with a horn from his band?
He wanted us to destroy it. I don't know, Phil.
Okay, folks, we'll be right back here. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Phil Hendry Show, coming right back. Wanted us to destroy it.
Yes, that's all I know. That's all I know, it's all I will know.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 10 o'clock here on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the Eastern Seaboard and everywhere in between, we're received loud and clear. Stephen Bozell has joined us from Corona, California, longtime contributor to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and a man who has, he's talked with us about all kinds of issues, parenting, the owning of a business, the dealing with employees, the dealing with issues between employee and employer and next door neighbors. We've run the gamut with you, Steve, over the years. And right now we're talking about something that sort of is far further afield of your interest, and that is national security. And this all came down with the and the noise you're hearing, folks. But what we have to do is we have to go someplace else, but you can't, huh?
What I need to do, Phil, and again, this was a fire that I thought would be tamped down earlier, but I do need to see what they're doing. I do need to see what they're doing. I thought that they would be done, but they are continually taking water from, we've got about the 2-acre pond here, and there's a good amount of water in it, but they're coming in here and they're sucking water out of it like it's, like we're giving it away, like it's some kind of a hobo. The fire department, in a way, see how he's coming low like that? Hey, April, see how he's coming low like that? Is he supposed to do that? Bill, is he supposed to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. He come in real low, Phil. Come in real like he's trying to buzz me or...
No, they don't.
Roy Hutchins, my next-door neighbor. Roy, do you mind, Phil, if I just ask a question?
Go ahead.
Yeah, they supposed to come in low like that, Roy?
What are you worried about?
I'm worried because they're coming in low. They're buzzing me. I know it's not a war zone. I'm sorry.
Do you want to continue talking about this?
Yes, sir, I do, because I think this is a symptom of the problem. When you talk about a government that is surveying people, that is got a microscope stuck way up there. Look at it right here. See, he's buzzing me. Hey, I'll go over and I'll tell that guy he's taking too much water.
You can't do that.
I can't do that? You want to watch me do it? You want to watch me do it, Roy? Hey, Roy, you want to watch me? My neighbor, Roy Hutchins, is laughing. He's doubled up laughing right now. What are you laughing at? So in any way, okay, Mr. Annie, I'll stop. The National Security Agency, when President Bush, he was all, woo-hoo, I want to do a Patriot Act.
Well, what does that mean, woo-hoo? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, President Bush, I think, is the guy that pushed everything. Obama is simply just doing... what the law says, and the law says that the Patriot Act is the law of the law. They passed a law basically saying that you've got to obey this law, because the Patriot Act was so suspicious for a lot of Americans. It was for me, it was for you, it was for a lot of people. It
wasn't for me. I didn't have any problem with the Patriot Act at all, because I didn't, to be honest with you, I did not see the immediate impact. It's tough to hear.
I know. You tell that guy to get up higher, because he's buzzing my property. He's scaring. I've got about 13 head of sheep over there. Are you with the fire department? Because he come in real low, and I think he's getting his laps. Well, I got my wife and my next-door neighbor here who believe that the whole thing is a big hobo circus, and they're having a real good time. But this guy has come in low twice now. Look at that. He's trying to buzz me.
What do you mean he's buzzing you? I've been hearing this for the last 5 minutes. What does that mean?
Are you yelling at me? I mean...
Well, sir, either you want to talk about the NSA or you want to talk about the fire department buzzing you.
They're coming in low for kicks. They're getting whoever's flying that aircraft for the L.A. County Fire Department. They're getting some kicks. They're getting their cookies. Buzzing, buzzing probably buzzing the retard down there that they see me. They just see a retard.
Okay, I want you to watch your language, because you do have children present. Your neighbors are there as well, and we're on the radio, okay?
I understand, Mr. Ernie. I apologize, but what's happening is I think these guys, for jollies and for laughs, they're up there joyriding, because I think most of the fire is out, so this is a joyride. This is a joyride. So don't you think so, Roy? My neighbor says that right now the fire department has probably 90%, 95%, I don't know, but it's probably 92% contained or 91 or something. And now this is what they're doing is they're just going, this is a get-your-cookie joyride. They're up there just scooping water and probably dumping it on the freeway. What are they doing with that water? What are they doing with the water out of my pond? That's all I want to know. I'm a Constitution. I pay my taxes by the Constitution. See, there they go again.
Sir, you don't know what they're doing, do you?
No, I don't.
All right, then why would you make an assumption that they're dumping the water on the freeway, or this is a get-your-cookie joyride, or whatever you're saying?
Because, Mr. Henry, they've been doing this all afternoon. The fire's got to be out by now.
But can I just tell you something? I'm not an expert, but I do know that they continue to pour water, even when the fire is out, they continue to pour water on the area, because they want to make sure all the hot spots.
No. I know all about it. I don't need for you. I know all about it, okay?
All right. Then you know what I'm saying is true.
What are your credentials?
Because I saw a fire right in front of my house being fought, sir. There was a fire broke out right across the street from my house, and I watched the fire department come in and take care of it. You know.
You watched a fire that burned in front of your house?
Yes, sir.
Okay, look at them right now. See, look at them getting their kicks.
Woo!
Yeah, I might as well play. God, I hate that so much. I want to call the L.A. Fire Department and find out why they're doing some sort of a little street race, having, you know, get your cookie time and...
Okay, you know what? Either you're going to concentrate on what you're saying to me, or I'm going to hang the phone up.
I have not done anything wrong, sir.
You're not focusing on the topic at hand. You're talking about the fire department. You don't know what they're doing. You don't understand the job, I don't think, sir.
Oh, and you do?
I know that they're not up there joyriding. They're pouring water on a hot area of land that it needs to have water poured on it because that's what...
Listen, how you're stumbling around there. You're making it up as you go.
Well, Steve, this is Margaret Gray. I'm the co-host. I don't think Phil's making it up as he goes. I agree with you that Phil is stumbling around and making it sound as if he doesn't know anything, but I think he does.
All right, I'll take your word for it, but...
Oh, well, that's nice.
Well, you're going like this. You're going, well, and another thing, and...
Well, how do you think you sound?
What's that? I can't hear you. Hold on.
Oh.
Hey, you tell that guy he buzzes my daughter one more time. I know that, but they're getting down just low enough where he can do... They're very juvenile, huh? You know as well as I do, he could hang his butt out the window. He could pull a BA on this. One guy hanging his rear end. Hey, I'm talking to you, sir.
What's going on now, Steve?
I'm talking to the fire department guy. Sir? All I'm saying, sir, could I just ask, sir, one guy hanging a bear out the window, that's going to cover a good 5-6 square miles. That's all I'm saying. If he was on the ground and he BA'd it, only a guy in the car next to him is going to see it. But if you're in an airplane and you pull up, you know, I hate to be juvenile, huh?
What is, I don't know what he's talking about.
No, if you're in an airplane and you press ham, about five. Well, okay. See, this fire department guy is he's a douchebag.
I think you're being very unfair. I think you're being ridiculous. I think you have not focused on our topic at hand. I think you're impugning the integrity of the L.A. County Fire Department, one of the great fire departments in the world.
Oh, well, you got to say that. You're on a radio.
No, I don't have to say anything, you crazy. I don't have to say that. I've watched my whole life what these guys go up against. And you're talking about these guys joyriding in one of these...
You don't even know what... Like, here he comes again.
What are they doing, sir, other than scooping water up and then going out and dropping it?
I'm suspicious because it's been going on for a couple of hours.
It's going to go on for at least... I'm going to tell you right now. I don't care if it's a fire they got out. It'll go on for 5 hours, man. And not only that, they'll have choppers in the area looking for other hot spots. That's what they do.
How do you know...
Because I talked to the firefighters when they were fighting that fire in front of my house. They were telling me. Did they come out with the foam?
Look at that. I'm telling you right. Just hold on, Phil. One guy pressing ham. You see that 5 square miles? Well, okay. I'm being childish.
You know, I don't understand you, man. Pressed ham.
If a guy presses, you know what pressed ham is?
Yes, I do. Okay. Are you telling me?
he's laughing now. He's laughing. My wife's what? My wife says she doesn't blame you. That is a betrayal.
Steve, I don't have a lot more time for this insanity. Either you focus on what we're talking about or I have to hang up.
All right, can you give me just a couple of minutes?
All right, hold on for a minute, because I can't go on with this.
Well, he's making a good point.
What point is he making?
He's saying, Phil, that if the fire is out and these firefighters are taking the time to get their jollies...
Oh, please, will you? Come on, man. They've got a command structure they have to answer to. They've got guys that are going to be, where are you? Is the fire? Yeah, well, and land the damn airplane. This is not, you don't go up there in those planes, man, like it's 3 o'clock in the morning and nobody knows you took it out and you're having your kicks. The whole freaking world is looking at those guys. They're right out there in the middle of a very populated area. And this whole thing about pressed ham you can see for 5 square miles.
He's right.
Yeah, if you think about it, Mr. Henry,
No, I haven't thought about that, bud, so thank you very much. Because I haven't taken the time to, quote, think about that. Yeah, I'll tell you what, if a guy hangs his bare ass out of an airplane, well, that means that you can see that for many, many, many square miles around the area, as opposed to if he just did it in a car. On the freeway. We'll be right back, folks. We've got to get Steve Bozell. We do? All right. We're getting him under control. And we're going to talk more about the NSA, about President Obama, about just how America's turning into a, you know, a terrible fascist state. Yeah, right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 10 o'clock at the El Pacifico, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. With me is Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. He's been out with his family and neighbors as they watch a fire being fought in the hills around Southern California. They live out in Corona, which is part of what we call the Inland Empire. It's eastern L.A. County, and we are attempting to have a conversation here, though, Mr. Bozell, about the NSA, about what you have done as a citizen.
Yes, sir, and I apologize, Mr. Annie, because we've taken a great many steps.
And now, I want to ask you, is the L.A. Friday, I can still hear them scooping water?
Yeah, they're scooping water out, but I found out from the, how you doing, Bill? Yeah, they're scooping water. I found out from the L.A. County fire guy here, he is very cooperative with me. His name is Battalion Chief. Hello?
As many as seven.
Hello?
Are we on the air? I heard some, okay.
What's going on, Mr. Henry?
Nothing. I heard some. I heard a commercial fired at our master control.
What's that mean?
Don't worry about it. We're fine. Pardon, okay.
Attorney Houston. Attention, mesothelioma patients. If you or a loved one were exposed to asbestos years ago, this may be the cause of your mesothelioma lung
cancer.
I'm
hearing commercials here.
Billions of dollars
folks
have been set aside to compensate mesothelioma
okay,
sufferers,
we need to get all
and you
that
may
out
be entitled
the,
to a tax-free share of that money,
of
even if you're simply a family member. Make a
Mr.
free
Bozell
call to 800-764-3000.
Never mind. I want
to
talk to you about this
ask for your free mesothelioma information kit. Compensation to pay for medical bills and treatments may be available. Many mesothelioma patients were exposed to asbestos and didn't even know it. Secondhand asbestos exposure can also cause this mesothelioma cancer.
I don't know, but I'm gonna find out. The NSA.
Hold on. Are you taking more water?
Let's hang up on this guy.
Why are you hanging up?
Because you haven't been doing what I.
Let me do it, Phil. Phil Henry is in a great state of agitation, which generally, and excuse my language to everyone out there, just turn. Mr. Bozell, you don't mind if we put you on hold, and then you answer when we take you off of hold. Is that all right?
Well, ma'am, I'm not...
Okay, what we're going to do, Phil, just go get yourself... Did we get the... where are the Yoo-Hoos?
I don't want a Yoo-Hoo.
Go get a Yoo-Hoo. Did you buy them, bud?
Yeah, I got a case of Mr. Anders. Got a 24-pack.
Well, isn't that nice?
Go get a Yoo-Hoo, please.
Look, Margaret, this is my show.
Get a Yoo-Hoo. Get out and get a Yoo-Hoo. I'm not kidding, Phil. Get a Yoo-Hoo.
Jeez.
No. Not jeez. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Margaret Great. Now, what I'm going to do is, Steve, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear.
Okay, that's enough of him. I'll ask the question, then I want you to respond, but don't bore me. And if you start talking about the men taking the water or BAing or pressing ham or anything else, we will put you on hold. Do you understand that?
Well, yeah. All I'm trying to...
Okay, good. He understands that. Steve, my question for you is this. When did the NSA... What did you first do to take steps against the NSA doing the domestic spying?
I'm trying to tell you about the L.A. fire.
Okay, so he didn't respond to that. I'll ask you again, and I'll continue to put you on hold if you don't answer my question, and my question alone, do you understand that?
It hurts my feelings, man.
All right, I think that's a yes. What did the NS... What are you doing...
Okay, let me have it.
Phil Henry's back now. Did you have your Yoo-Hoo?
I had my Yoo-Hoo, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Phil Henry.
Put him... Steve, you can see what happened. I got kicked out of here to have a Yoo-Hoo.
Well, I don't have a Yoo-Hoo. I don't have no Yoo-Hoo.
All right, that's fine. The National Security Agency, the CIA, the FBI, all of these entities that are a part of the security umbrella that covers this country have come under great criticism and suspicion. What have you done to address this problem as a private citizen? What have you done that has garnered this news coverage that I've seen you get in recent days?
First thing we did, Mr. Henry, and first of all, I want to say thank you to the Los Angeles Fire Department for finally, in the name of everything, thank you for stopping taking water out of my property.
Okay, that's all been taken care of.
Okay, the second thing I want to mention is the fact that, and I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but you were allowed to go and have a chocolate-flavored,
Do you want to go get some chocolate milk?
Okay, thanks so much. You really are, you're despicable. I don't even know how to say it.
Despicable?
Yes, I think that was the word. You got him to hang up. And I think this is an example, Phil.
Yes, Jerry.
No, wait, hold on.
No, this is an example of how you do not handle guests well. You've got to be able to talk to these people so that you get them to feel secure, so they're not scatterbrained and scattershot.
What did I do wrong?
I'll list it. You didn't take his concerns seriously. You should have said, well, Mr. Bozell, if you're concerned about this, what can we do to help you? You wanted to stick to the game plan. What do you say in football? Don't you people, you football fans, don't you say something? You've got to throw the game plan out.
I guess.
Yes, you should have done, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Oh, well, okay, so I throw the game plan out, and then what?
If he wants to talk about the L.A. County Fire Department BAing his daughter, my God, you're going to have to talk about it.
And as we talk about that, do I now label the hour your mental health hour?
Phil, don't be sarcastic.
I'm not being sarcastic. I'm asking an honest question. If this guy wants to talk about the L.A. County Fire Department pressing ham and shocking his daughter, what are you laughing at now?
Well, it's funny the way you put it.
Well, guess what? When I was laughing about it a half hour ago, you thought it was all very serious.
It is serious, but you've destroyed the hour. You butchered it beyond all recognition. Now you can have a laugh over it.
Yeah, you might as well, Mr. Henry, because you butchered it beyond all recognition.
Well, isn't that great? So we just caved in a whole hour of radio. Well, now we can laugh about it. That's not how I play this game. I play to win, see? I play to win. Ow.
Well, quit hitting yourself in the chest.
Yeah. All right, so Bozell hung up.
And that's your fault. Now, we can get Bud to try to call him back, ease him back into the discussion. You know, I had the very first person that trained me in this business was Nell Perchable. Do you remember him?
No, I do not.
You don't?
No.
Nell used to say when you did an interview, you had to provide, excuse me for saying this, ladies and gentlemen, but you had to provide the lube. You were the lube. And the guest, well...
That was the thing that had to have the lube on it.
Why are you looking at me like that?
You're kidding, right? What is this about?
It's about easing them in.
Yeah, it's true, Mr. And a lot of times you don't want to just take a guest and jam them in. Yeah, you ease them in.
Yeah, so you got to be the lube.
Well,
you know something? I think you guys are about as stupid a crew as I've ever heard on the radio.
Phil.
No. I've been listening to you. And probably we'll hear from David Hall here in a few minutes. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's borderline obscene.
Oh, grow up.
No, you grow up. I'm the lube. I'm talking to a guy about the NSA, national security, and all of the other things that are going on. This clown is looking at the L.A. Fire Department putting a fire out, and what's his big worry? What's he worried about? Not whether his house is going to burn down, not whether or not we are being spied on by our own government. He's worried about some joyriding firefighters pressing ham against the window of the fire...
Of the fireplane?
Yes, of the fireplane.
That's not what you called, Mr. Henry.
I know. He's worried about that. He's worried about his 12-year-old daughter being scandalized by some firefighters flying by and hanging their bare asses out of a window.
Well, now we know how much you care as a parent.
I do care. You know the thing I care about? I care about a kid being exposed to a jackass for a father. How about that?
That's pretty bad. You shouldn't talk about people like that.
I'm talking about him that way. I feel for the kids of this country sometimes. When I see some of these parents who, they're not fit to have a mule. They shouldn't have a dog, let alone a kid. They're dumb go baby. And the kids are exposed to all kinds of stupid behavior. That guy standing out there, his daughter was probably humiliated. And he's got his neighbor laughing at him.
Are you done?
No, I'm not done, Margaret. I may go on like this for the rest of the show. How do you feel about that? I guess maybe you can call up Frank and have him come get you.
I'm trying to help you and all your...
Yeah, look at what you did.
Margaret, I didn't mean to yell. Oh, look at... I'm not trying to yell at her, okay?
That's what you did. You're yelling all about everything, man.
Well, like, somebody's got to take control of the show, and I'm the guy to do it.
Yeah, and you go a lot like it. You're talking like a tard. You're all messed up. You sound like you had a stroke, and half your brain's collapsed.
Yeah, man, sound to me like you're asking about.
You know, one of these days when you guys learn the English language, I'd sure as hell like to speak it with you.
What don't you get about asking about?
But like everything? I'm talking about a radio show. Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether to laugh or cry with you clowns. Thank you very much, Mr. Bozell, here on the Phil Hendry Show. Well, it's time to move on. And what now what?
Back on.
Is that you, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm back. I was convinced to come back on by Mr. Peabody or whatever his name is.
His name is Bud Dickman.
Well, all right.
Hold on for a minute.
You just got him on and put him on hold?
Yes, because we have to break.
Got to get it together, Phil. You're flipping out and everything.
Thank you very much for all of your concern there, Bud. I appreciate that. Yes, I am flipping out. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and we're going to be coming back here to try to salvage what's left of this hour and talk about national security and not guys hanging their bare asses out of fire planes. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Hey, welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me turn the fan off here. We've had a heat wave here in
California, man.
It has been hot, and it's the first time it got hot in these parts all summer long. So it's been insane. I wanted to just stop down. You know, we are, as I said, this is our third week. We're concluding the third week of the reboot of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And I know that I flipped out there, and I think everybody is kind of weird. Do we have Mr. Bozell still on hold?
Yeah, he's wondering what's going on.
Just tell him, Bud, for me, that we'll get to him in a couple of minutes. I want to explain something, because we've had a couple of technical glitches here. It happens, and I can tell you, folks, not only do I do a show as the quote-unquote talent, I used to be a session engineer myself, which means I was the guy that pushed the buttons.
Yeah, Mr. Bozell, he's right now, Mr. Henry's just talking and talking and talking. Oh.
If I hear you open your...
Don't do it on the air, Bud, you...
Yeah, man.
Let me get him here. Hi, Steve. Never mind. It's okay. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm okay, but I feel a little bit like I've been sort of not treated with decency.
Okay, I apologize, sir. We've got about... we had a whole hour, and now we've got like 9 minutes to talk about national security.
Yes, sir, but, I mean, well, how much did we do, what did we do the other?
Oh, we were talking about the, you don't remember?
Yes, sir, I do remember that we talked in part about the firefighting that was going on behind my house. You tell me the whole hour?
We spent about the whole hour talking either about them taking water, you know, scandalizing your daughter.
What are you talking about?
You said that you were afraid that these guys were joyriding and hanging their asses out the window.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay.
That's the whole hour we did that?
You better believe it, buddy. The whole hour. So let's just take these moments, and in the time we have, we can get a lot done. We're talking here about the Patriot Act and certain provisions that suddenly became a controversy. Suddenly became very serious. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, for me, Mr. Henry, the seriousness of the Patriot Act come into fruition. When I did hear about it, and I heard about it with the arrest originally of the American soldier, the private in the U.S. Army, then also this man, Mr. Edward Snowden, who alerted the American people to the fact that they're being spied on,
Right, but again, this was something that was years and years old.
Well, yes, sir, it was, but, you know, they didn't say nothing about it.
What? Who's they?
The government. They just passed the law. And I know you're going to say, well, the Congress passed the law. Yeah, they did. And you probably say...
Well, let me say it, okay?
All right.
As voters, we should be aware of what's happening in the Congress of the United States. These laws were being passed. I remember the enormous debate over the Patriot Act that took place, the enormous debate over the constitutionality of the Patriot Act, the enormous debate between conservatives and progressives as to the usability, as to the advisability of this law. I mean, it was a big, big thing.
It was a big thing, but it was also, and this is something that I think we have to take into consideration, I think of every American, it was also... The conversation was not exciting. It was tedious. People didn't want to hear it, didn't want to pay attention to it. And that's, if you'll notice, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire become one of the biggest shows ever right about then. And that, I have to say, is not my fault.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire became a big show, and you're saying that's why? Because the laws that were being passed were boring?
Well, the discussion about them was starting to get... 9/11 was a very... It was terrible. It was bad. It was also very exciting and interesting because of how everything got blown, how it all blowed up. All right? And so everybody paid attention. But then when they started talking about laws, it's all I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, Mr. Bozell, these reasons you're giving as to why you're not aware of what was in the Patriot Act just don't pass muster, as we like to say. It's all well and good to say the discussion around the passage of that law was boring, and that's why Who Wants to Be a Millionaire became number one. But nonetheless, as a citizen, you should be aware of what's happening. You should be aware of what's being proposed, what's being passed, and what's being implemented, don't you think?
I think, yes, sir, I should. But I also have my own dignity that I want to look in. I have my own dignity that I want to look into, okay?
What do you mean, your own dignity that you want to look into?
What I mean is, just as my daughter stood next to me, my beautiful 12-year-old daughter, and watched as an L.A. County fireman pulled his pants down.
Did he really do that, or are you just saying that?
I'm saying in my mind he did.
Well, Steve, that's not the same thing as it happening.
I understand that, but as a father, you have to look ahead.
Well, you didn't look ahead when they passed that Patriot Act, did you, sir?
I do not want to be yelled at, sir.
You didn't look ahead when they passed the Patriot Act, did you, sir?
Are you calmed down?
Yes, I am.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
I'm...
May I talk with Miss Gray, please?
Steve, this is Margaret Gray.
I think you're far more lovely to look at, Miss Gray, if I may say that.
Thank you very much.
And I'm not hitting on you or anything.
I appreciate that.
Better watch out, Margaret. He might hang his rear end out the window.
What? Okay, that does it.
This is another guy that can't hang the phone up. What's the story?
I hung the phone up, Mr. Henry.
Then why are you still talking to me, sir?
Oh, boy.
This is another guy. Is there something we can do for our listeners to help them hang up phones?
I don't know. What kind of a phone are you using, Steve?
Regular phone? It's just a regular phone. It's just a regular phone.
So it's not a cell phone?
No, it's a phone with a cradle.
You need a cell phone. You need to just push a button and it hangs up.
No, I'm too much of a retard.
It sounds like it to me, but one thing you can, that you can do is not feel so lonely, because there's a lot of people that can't hang phones up when they call the show.
Dad, I can't hear you, man. I'm trying to hang the phone up.
I'm telling you, this is the most bizarre hour of radio that I've ever been privy to, watched, or been a part of.
Bill, it all goes back to you, the host. Now, I know that you're doing your best.
Yeah, I think you ought to hear that. That's a very good point, if I may.
Go ahead, Robert.
Mr. Henry, as she said, it all comes back to you. You're the host. You're the reason. You drive the engine. If the show was a treadmill and it was powered by a hamster, you're the hamster.
Yeah, you would be the hamster.
Well, sometimes I feel like the hamster, okay?
Well, I mean, I don't know what that means.
If I feel like I'm a hamster on a treadmill.
I'm just saying, if it was powered by kerosene, it was a bicycle, if it was wind power, you'd be the sail.
Yeah, you'd be the sail. Well, maybe you'd be the wind.
No, he'd be the sail. He's not the wind. That gives Phil... He's not that powerful. He's a sail. He catches the power. The power is out there. It's not Phil.
Okay, can I say something?
Well, hold on. So you have the power. Wait a minute. Yeah, you would be the wind, because I just said he's a hamster.
Well, a hamster, what do you think the hamster is? What do you think? Just exactly what kind of power do you attribute to a hamster?
I'm saying to you that a...
You let me just not have this conversation. I understand it. It all comes back to me. The buck stops here, which, by the way, we had an occurrence this morning where our website went offline, and it was as the result of a domain slip-up, domain name slip-up. And everyone stepped up to the plate, took responsibility. It was fantastic, and I was very proud of my crew. And I said, you know what? We screwed up here. We screwed up there. But one of them, my partner over there, Darren, he says, hey, you know what? The buck stops with me, man. I said, that's all that we can ask. That's all that we can ask for.
Well, what does that mean?
What does it mean? It means that what we want out of people is responsibility. Take responsibility, because then we can say it's your job. If you take responsibility and say, you know, I'm the guy, you're the guy, then we know who to train better. We know who to put back in the driver's seat when you have been trained better. We know to make you better. You help us identify the problem. You help us strengthen that part of the chain. I'm Phil Hendry, and this marvelous metaphor and speech brought to you by, I don't know.
By Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah, by Yoo-Hoo. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-507-445. Phil Hendry Show.
Brought to you by Yoo-Hoo.
That's how good I am, man. Just at the final second, I was able to get... Oh, hi, everybody. It's world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Big apologies to my video cast. I'm just going to go ahead and do the whole mea culpa right here. Big apologies to my video cast audience, my subscribers. I love you. You know I love you, and you know I respect you, and I'm sorry. And I've got a big sign here. Please remember to unmute your mic. We mute our microphones during the break for a variety of reasons. We mute our microphones even though we have subscribers that are watching our behind the scenes. We mute our microphones for a variety of reasons. And I have to remember to unmute them. I have to remember because we don't have the technical support for our video cast that we would need to remind me to unmute. You know, this is something usually an engineer would handle. So I apologize to my video subscribers, you guys listening in on the radio side. It's really frustrating for me, man. I'm telling you right now. I said this on the air a couple of weeks ago. Maybe I say it every night.
Well, Phil, you're not going to go in.
Yeah, maybe I am going to go into the speech. Maybe I am. What is David calling?
Probably him. You know full well it's probably going to be David Hall calling in.
Well, isn't that something, man?
Shut up.
Oh, okay.
What are you doing, Miss Henry?
Well, he's looking at him. He's all scared.
Mr. Hall calls in. You'll be sorry if you ever... Hello? Yeah, he wants to talk to you.
Oh, really? Yes, sir.
All right. I mean, I'm hearing you starting your warm-up, okay? You're like a pitcher in a bullpen, Phil. As soon as you start your warm-up, I know you're about to go out to the mound, I got to call up.
And what am I warming up to do?
You're warming up to once again rip the radio industry a new ass. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, I wasn't.
You're a liar.
Well, all right, maybe I was going to bring up a couple of things.
Yeah. And all I'm doing is I'm calling you up and reminding you to be a nice guy. The new Phil Hendry is a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Phil, this is very important. I agree with David on this one.
When do you not agree with him?
Are you calling me some kind of a sycophant?
Sort of, yeah.
Well, Phil, that's very, very insulting, you know.
Well, hold on for a minute, aren't you?
No, you know I go my own way. There's a song, Phil, and I think you know the song.
Look, Margaret.
No, hold on for a minute. Loving you isn't the right thing to do, 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 do. You remember the song?
Yeah, I do.
That was called Go Your Own Way, Phil. And when I first heard it, I thought it was legitimizing homosexuality. And I didn't like it because I was part of the whole Anita Bryant thing. I thought that it was wrong. And I learned. I learned that I had to change.
You thought that Go Your Own Way was what?
You thought that Go Your Own Way was what? You mind if we just talk about what we're talking about?
David, there's no need to be a smartass.
All right, what do you... you want to know.
What did you think Go Your Own Way was about?
I thought it was legitimizing the gay lifestyle, which I know is not a lifestyle.
Go Your Own Way.
Yes, think about it.
Well, it is. It does make sense, Robert.
Yeah, it sort of does, sir. You know, go your own way. Go.
Yeah, it's like you go your own, because there's only, if you're straight, there's the one way, but if you go your own way, it's slightly lower. Well, depending upon, you know, the position.
Shut up. God.
Look, you're the guy that forced the issue here, and all I'm trying to say to you is, if you're on the air and you're talking about the radio industry like there are a whole bunch of gloids walking around eating with their hands, wiping stains off their fly, and basically, you know, you make them sound like a bunch of guys that wander around behind a chain-link fence on what used to be testing grounds, and all they know how to do is point at the administration building and then hold their hand out for some bubble yum. Isn't that right? Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay. We can't do that anymore, Phil. We're all one big happy corporation. All one big happy family. What did Pastor Rennick tell you? Didn't he tell you you got to get along to go along?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I've got to do, Mr. Rennick.
And I think, Phil, when you think of this, go your own way.
All right, Mark Morgan, if you don't mind.
Oh, really? Are you saying that it's hard to hear?
No. You're a great singer, but...
I'm a great singer, but what?
You know, it's good, Miss Gray. Go, you can...
Yeah, go your own way. That's the song. Loving you isn't the right... Do you remember the song? I loved it so much. Now, you know Stevie Nicks went to Arcadia High, don't you?
What has that got to do with anything?
But she's saying, Phil, that she went to your alma mater.
Stevie Nicks went to... she went to Arcadia High 2 years ahead of me.
Did you know her and everything and date her?
No, because she only went there for a year.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
I don't know. What are you telling me?
I'm telling you that Stevie Nicks walked the very halls that you walked 2 years later as a senior after you got thrown out of LaSalle. I mean,
Thanks a lot for that, David.
Wait a second.
Were you thrown out of LaSalle?
Just never mind, okay?
You almost said never effing.
Yeah, I heard that, Mr. Rennick.
Okay, yeah, I almost said, you know what? What I'll do is from now on I'll stop down and point out every mistake I make. That will, you know, that will lessen the burden on you guys. All right.
But Stevie Nicks went to Arcadia High.
She went to Arcadia High in 68, I think. She's 2 years older than me. She went to Arcadia High. I didn't know it. I didn't know anything about Stevie. When I was at Arcadia High, there wasn't such a thing as a Stevie Nicks. I mean, she was a girl that was out there in the world, but she wasn't famous yet.
What about like what was the band she was in?
Fleetwood Mac.
Well, they were around.
Yeah, they were over in England playing blues. They were a completely different band. They were a completely different band than the band they became with Stevie Nicks.
What do you think she was doing around 1970? I know what I was doing. You know, we were doing Bunkhouse.
You were doing Bunkhouse, yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I want to move on, okay?
All right.
Anyway, folks, thank you very much. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It just bugs me, and that's why we wanted to... It just bothers me, and I'm sorry. I apologize to my subscribers. I'm sorry. And I can say that it'll never happen again. It probably will. You know, but we will do our very best, our level best. And again, my thanks to my good buddy Lauren. 18,000 texts here. You know, it's when you ever go to your phone and you see the same person, there's a whole row of texts, you know, oh, now what? You know, what happened? That's what I got. And it was a... look at this, yo, yo, yo. It's about 19 yos. Then there's another one like, unmute, unmute, unmute. Now she starts in with, you dumbass, dumbass. Now it gets even worse. I'm kidding. No, she doesn't. All right. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Texters who distract drivers may share blame for crash. Crashes court rules. Now, last night, as it turned out, we did have Stephen Bozell on the line talking with us about that. We ran out of time. And I don't want to have him back on because he's been traumatized by his daughter having to look at what she imagined to be pressed ham against the glass of a L.A. County Fire Department plane. And as it turned out, no, it wasn't.
Well, you're calling the man crazy.
Yeah, I guess I am. Oh, gee. We're going to get back, though, and talk about this. On September the 21st of 2009, Kyle Best, 18, crashed his pickup truck into a married couple. This is a horrible accident. They were on a motorcycle. David and Linda Kubert, both of them lost their left legs in the accident. Are you ready for that? The Kuberts settled with Best after filing suit, but Guess who else they sued? They sued Shannon Colonna. She was on the phone with young Mr. Best. They were talking, and they sued her because the law says that if you are distracting, knowingly distracting someone who's driving an automobile with the texting or whatever, you are also liable civilly. So they had to go into a court of law, and they had to try to prove that this woman knew that she was distracting him. And we will give you the outcome of that. And we'll be talking with Harvey Wireman, our attorney at law, who is one of our experts on this. And we'll also be taking some phone calls on it here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this Friday night, just ahead of our big Labor Day weekend. I hope you guys have something fun planned. My birthday is coming up on Sunday, so I've just decided, man, I'm going to hike out of here, you know. That way I won't be able to mute anything or screw up a video cast, you know. But we will be in touch with you guys via our website over the weekend as well. So stay with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And, you know, we'll try to make everything, like, copacetic. All right, coming up here on the Phil Henry Show, we do have conversation with Harvey Wireman. We'll look into this whole texting thing. Do you text when you drive? Well, you probably don't. If you do, you wouldn't admit to it, would you?
What about you?
No, I don't.
That's a lie, because you told me just the other time.
Well, hold on for a minute, okay? I'll explain it. World famous Phil Henry Show.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty.
What is this, bud?
I'm sorry, that was the bumper music.
Well, that's some real kick-ass bumper music.
Well, it is the theme of America.
I understand, but I want something a little more. Why don't you pay attention? Anyway, welcome back, folks. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I didn't know we'd be leading off the segment with a hymn, but it's a beautiful hymn. And we're talking here about texting and driving. It's amazing how many people don't understand this law and don't understand what the law calls for, and they don't understand what the law allows. Now, what happened here is that there were two people riding on a motorcycle and some other clown driving along in his truck one day, and he was being texted by his girlfriend, and she was texting him. And they wanted to prove... Now, these two people were hit by this guy in the car, and they wound up losing their legs, okay?
Why?
Because they got hit by the guy in the truck.
Yeah, but why did they lose the leg?
Because that was the side of the motor. What do you mean, why did they lose their leg? They got hit on that side by the truck.
Well, Phil, they're just looking for some specifics. Legs were lost. We do know that. Now, did they get new legs?
We'll get to that when we get to that.
But legs were lost.
Yes, legs were lost. If you guys are making a joke about this, I'm going to start swinging.
No, man, I just want to know.
Two legs were lost.
On one guy?
One leg per person. The guy and the wife. Now look at this. Okay, good. I was going to look over there and see if my video cast was still muted. So the people were hit. They turn around and they sue this guy by the name of Kyle Best. And they sue him, and they're basically saying, you jackass, I don't have a leg now, man. You want to know why? Because you were texting your girlfriend. But one more thing. The law allows for the girlfriend to be held to pay damages if they can prove that she knowingly was texting this guy while he was driving. So what that does is, do any of you know people that have been hit by others that were texting? Margaret?
No, I don't.
All right. I do. A friend of mine with her two children in the car was hit by some jackball driving behind her on a freeway. And the freeway had suddenly come to a dead stop because of a traffic jam, but some ass that was coming up behind her texting didn't see the stopped traffic and just plowed right into the back end of her car. And thank God she was in a pretty heavy-duty SUV, but she wound up having internal injuries, breaking some bones. Her kids were okay, but it did take some... the paramedics had to arrive. I mean, they had to remove her from the car gingerly, this clown that ran into her. Now, I happen to know that she went into... had some financial difficulty. And maybe it's because the ass that ran into her didn't have any money. But there's got to be something that the law provides for so that if someone like that hits you, you sue them, and they pay you off like a pinball machine for the rest of their living days. Bud?
Hey!
Cut!
Okay. You don't get to say cut. I do.
I have a point I want to make. So you're saying the girl has to pay too?
Yeah, well, we don't know yet. They have to prove that, and I don't think that's been proven. As a matter of fact, I think they did get through, and it was not proven. The three-judge appellate panel unanimously agreed Tuesday that there was insufficient evidence to determine whether Colonna was responsible for distracting Best. Now, a lot of people are so stupid, excuse me for saying this, folks, not you necessarily, but a lot of people in this country are so dumb that they don't understand that the law allows for you to sue an individual who is purposefully distracting the driver with texting, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you are automatically going to get it. You have to prove it. You have to prove it.
Yeah, but if she was doing it, then...
All I'm saying is, if you think...
Yeah, if you think, man, that doesn't mean I prove it.
Oh.
If you think that that person was texting that guy and knowingly texting while he was knowing he was driving, then you take your shot and you go ahead and sue that person, too. The law does allow that, and the law allows for damages. But you got to prove it.
And they didn't prove it.
No, they did not prove it. They did not prove that this girl, her name again, Colonna, her name's Sharon Colonna, did I say?
It's Sharon Colonna.
Shannon Colonna.
Sharon Colonna.
Shannon.
Yeah. No?
Shannon, are you guys...
It says Shannon, yes, you're right.
Shannon Colonna.
How do you spell the last name?
Don't worry about how you spell it. The court's language says when the sender has actual knowledge or special reason to know from prior texting experience or otherwise that the recipient will view the text while driving, the sender has breached a duty of care to the public by distracting the driver. All right, Harvey Weierman is an attorney at law, and he's a guy to talk to about these things, although Harvey is a... Well, Harvey, you're a criminal defense attorney. You're not an entertainment attorney, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been involved in criminal defense for a long time. Of course, you know, I would tend to... Texting, Phil, is a very... It's in the telephone. You write down the things you want to say when you're on a telephone. Okay?
Right, right.
Now, but just hear me out for a second. There's a thing on the telephone that a lot of people don't use, and it's called talk into it or something.
Are you talking about Siri?
Yeah, Siri, that's it.
Oh, yeah, well, you can talk and text. It's voice to text.
Well, what is it called? I call it the thing you talk into. I don't call it Siri. Say, just talk it. And when you talk it, then it gets to the people. Now, one of the things that has angered me, and you will probably know this, is that it does not necessarily print out what you're saying, and the spell check takes over. I had texted, voice to text, as you call it, Phil, using this Siri to my office, and I said, would you please... make sure that Mrs. Chowden has a banana because she has banana. She has a banana cocktail every morning. And
whoa, who is this?
She's a client of mine. All right,
and this is a woman that you provide a banana for.
Will you let me finish what I'm going to say? Yes, I've known her and her husband for many, many years. I was in the service with her husband.
Oh, okay.
And he passed on, and I've handled her legal affairs since then. And she comes and sees me every Wednesday, and she has a fruit cocktail, and a lot of times we will provide it for you. I have a buffet here. I lay out the... You've been over here in the morning, haven't you?
Yeah, Harvey has a nice... You got coffee.
I have bagels. It looks like a regular... It's almost like you're going to a table read for a TV, on the TV set, you know?
So...
No, because it cost me a pretty penny to lay out a bunch of fruit and bagels for a lot of these slobs. Excuse me, I'm not talking about you, Jenny, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. So, just listen to me for a minute and quit butting in, because this is important. Now, voice-to-text uses spell check, and when I voiced over what I would like the lady, Mrs. Brighton, to have a banana... Make sure she gets a banana with her fruit cocktail, and I'll be in the office in a moment. Well, the spell check came out like this. She's got to take a banana, and you give it to her. I'll be in to watch.
What?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Now, guess what happened? Working the switchboard...
Well, I want to know something. What did you actually... What was the voice message...
That I talked into the phone?
Yes, that you were voice texting.
I said, Mrs. Brighton will be in. Make sure she has a banana for her fruit cocktail, which she eats there at our buffet, and I'll be in shortly.
And it came out She's got to take a banana, you give it to her, and I'll watch?
Yes, that's what he showed me. So when I went into the office, all right, and she had locked herself in the bathroom, and he's holding a banana. Now, this guy, he's not the brightest kid, okay?
Who is this kid?
This kid, Jerry.
Why is it all the dumb guys are named Jerry?
What is that supposed to mean?
Just seems like that's... So Jerry did what?
This kid, Jerry, had a banana and had been following her, you know, in the office until she finally got nervous and went into the ladies' room and locked herself in there. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm trying to do what you asked. I don't know why you asked that, Mr. Wyman, but I so want to be a lawyer that I'll do whatever it takes. And I wanted to, you know, I said, are you trying to tell me that you were going to go ahead and do the deed with that banana to the... He said, that's what you wanted. Well, I had to fire him. I had to fire him, and I also recommended him to my psychiatrist, Bill Fondell. So Fondell is going to put this guy on a couch and see if he can't figure out what happened to him.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a hell of a story, isn't it? And that's that voice texting. So,
I've used voice texting, and there's no question that weird stuff comes out. No question.
Yes, and I have to, but I've never heard of anything like that.
Well, you've heard it now. But let me tell you this much, Phil. I would rather people use voice texting than wind up taking off the leg of a guy and his wife. And what did you... You said that it was a leg, right?
Oh, boy, you guys are killing me, man.
Well, what was it?
No, it's two legs. One belonged to the guy, and one belonged to the lady, and then there was another one?
No, man, two legs.
Why would there be another one? You just said two legs.
Yeah, one belonged to the guy. Well,
so thank you very much. Hold on, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Very weird. I don't know what's weirder, the story or listening to this whole thing about Mrs. Whoever the hell.
Mrs. Brighton.
Mrs. Brighton gets a fruit cocktail. I'll tell you one thing that would have kept that from happening, Harvey. Had you just decided not to provide these buffets in the... You go to Harvey's office, he always has laid out very beautifully. They've got donuts.
Oh, I've been there, yes. Fruit, and they have bagels. It's wonderful.
And they have coffee. But, and he wanted to make... So, give her a banana.
Yeah, and the guy's all chasing her around with a banana.
Well, he didn't chase her, but... We'll be back with more on the texting while driving and the fallout of that here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. Blast off. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com as we continue talking to Harvey Wyman and others about the texting, this texting lawsuit and the court ruling. Who distracts who? And if someone distracts the driver, you know, they are the ones that they also are the ones that share the blame. So the driver who is screwing up, that cat is going to get, you know, he's going to get slapped with some heavy penalties in a civil trial. And the person who is driving, or excuse me, the person that's texting, so they could be sitting next to you or they could be someplace else. And it would not matter at all. Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association is going to be talking with us a little bit about this later on. She's got three sons and you know, kids text. But you know who else texts? Everybody texts. I text.
Well, now, Phil, you did tell me that you text and drive.
Not anymore, I don't. No, I do not. No, I do not. I don't text and drive after I heard what happened to my friend, okay? I don't want to know if I should use her name or not, you know, but... Because people may know. Well, Trish, okay?
I think I know who... Is her last name...
Don't worry about what her last name is. But in any event, she was with her kids, and it was a bad thing, man. It was bad. And she got hit by this guy. But if there was somebody distracting him, if there was someone on the other end of that texting process who was aware of the fact that he was driving, they are also... Now, if you're aware. If you're not aware, then you're not going to be a person who is liable for that kind of thing. All right, Charlie the Fountain coming on the line with us here from Boston. Charlie, it's good to talk with you. And let's hear your experience. Were you distracted by a texter? Were you the texter, or were you the victim of a texter?
Phil, I was the victim of a texter, and I was driving with a couple of business associates of mine who were texting. I was not texting, and I was hit by someone that was texting. But here is the story that I want to tell you, and I've been on your program before talking about multimedia issues.
And Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is also going to join us because they've been out in force with their own operation.
All right, well, that gentleman there, Mr. Sanders, that you just referred to, I have some stories about him because I was accosted by him and his Citizens Auxiliary. I call them the Citizens Auxiliary idiots because that's what they are.
All right, well, we'll get to that. But tell me about the incident involving you and being hit by the texter.
I was driving on the Pasadena Freeway in Los Angeles. I was out in Los Angeles on business, and I was driving on the freeway before it goes through those tunnels around Elysian Park. And I live in suburban Boston. I don't do a lot of driving. I usually will take the MTA or, you know, I use some form of public transportation. But I was driving in Los Angeles because that's what you do. I was with two other gentlemen who are buyers of mine, and we were on our way into Pasadena to the mall there, and we're going to be speaking with some of the representatives of the store there. Enough said. So, as I'm driving through the tunnel, coming up on me head-on, Phil, and if you've been to those tunnels in Elysian Park, you know it's very baffling. It can be very disorienting.
These are the tunnels near Dodger Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, so head-on. Coming toward me was a large SUV. It was an excursion, and clipped the left front of my car. I swerved at the last minute. This thing clipped me. It spun around, and this guy, who I thought initially was drunk, turns around and chases me down and finally runs me off the road. And when I spoke later on with a police officer, he said to me, "This is what texting does." So,
Wait. There's a lot more to this story that needs to be said. First of all...
Well, what more do you need? What I'm telling you is that a texter caused that.
Well, wait a minute. This guy was texting, but he was also going head-on towards you, and then when he hit you, he turned around and chased you?
That is correct, yeah.
Well, this is what texting does. The people are not paying attention.
Wait, what are you talking about?
What don't you understand about this discussion, Phil?
I was brought on the program to talk about texting. What are you talking about?
I'm asking you how texting caused this guy to go, excuse me.
Ew, you just spit.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
What's going on there, Mr. Henry?
I'm sorry, I'm talking so fast I need to swallow.
That's what she said.
Hold on for just a minute.
Oh, boy.
You think I'm doing a comedy thing here or something?
Well, you kind of teed it up.
You did tee it up, Mr. Henry.
I don't give a damn if I teed it up, okay?
Well, Phil, it was sitting right there. It was fat, it had butter all over it, and it was waiting to be hit over the center field fence.
I don't care. You're not the judge of that. You're not the judge of that. You're not the judge of that. Because I tee it up doesn't necessarily mean I hit it. I'm talking about texting. I'm talking about a serious issue. And that's what she said. That's about as old. All right, back with Charlie LaFountain. Charlie, what I'm asking you is this. How did texting cause this individual to go the wrong way down the freeway, then after he hit you, turn around, chase you down, and run you off the road?
Well, I was trying to explain to you, Phil. The individual was texting in that excursion, was texting one of the two men that was with me. And the individual was texting had been a young lady that he had been out with the night before. We had a buyer's party downtown what is the name of the hotel there that used to be very classy, but now it's a little bit of a dump?
I don't know. What?
Yeah, Bonaventure there, the Bonaventure Hotel.
That's not a dump.
Oh, okay, well, whatever you say, but... we had a party there, and apparently it was a young lady that he met. Now I'm in the car driving, and apparently he told her to get lost or drop dead or something. She was on the 5 freeway. She immediately swings over 5 lanes of traffic and takes the exit and somehow gets on the northbound lanes of the Pasadena coming right at me.
How did she know where you were?
Because he told her. He said, "We're going through the tunnels of the Elysian. Where are you?" She said, "I'm on the 5. Watch this." That was the last thing she texted.
And this girl was headed for your car. Why?
Because she knew this guy that gave her the brush the night before was in my car. Now, she's one of these party girls. You understand what I mean by a party girl? She's a professional escort. So, Rudy, the guy that was with me, thought it was just a good time girl, and he didn't know that she was ready to settle down and have 18 babies, whatever the hell. So he says to her, we're going into Pasadena, we're in the Elysian Park tunnel, have a nice life, and she said, watch this. That's the end of the text. She comes over five lanes of traffic.
And hunts you down right there whatever lanes they are, the southbound?
Pasadena-bound lanes. And I see two headlights in an excursion. I see this blonde hair flying in the wind. And I swerve at the last minute, and she hits the left front. Now, I'm thinking, sweet Jesus, what was that, you know?
Good God.
Right. But then I look in the rearview mirror, and I see her swing around. She does one of these 180s, and she's coming after me again. I'm thinking, what do I got behind me, the fall guy, you know? You know, Mr. Eric, that was
Don't like cheers like a stunt person.
Who was that?
That's Bud. Take it easy, Bud, okay?
It's a Bud?
Bud. He's one of my staff guys.
All right. Well, who it was, Bud, for your information, young man, it was this woman. She's chasing me down. And I said to this guy, Rudy, I said, what's going on? He said, it's the girl I was out with last night. Well, she's shaking a fist at me. She's coming up beside me. She's got the window rolled down. She's edging it over and over, more and more and more, turning the wheel into me more and more and more. She's pointing to her phone. And I'm saying I can't do it. This guy that was the cause of it has buried himself in the back seat. He's just completely hiding from her. She's pointing to the phone. She's pointing at her crotch. She's basically saying some nasty stuff to me. I keep going as far as I can go, and then she swings the wheel one more time. We hit that shoulder there on the Avenue 52. I don't know if you know where it is, Phil.
Sort of, yeah. There's a park there.
Right. We hit the shoulder there. The car gets air. We go through two chain-link fences. We hit that baseball diamond. I'm praying the whole time. I've lost the car. It no longer is under my control. I've given it over to God. As this car goes through those two chain link fences across this baseball stadium, or the baseball diamond, I should say, goes through another chain link fence, and we come to rest not too far away from the hillside there, where all that dry brush is. And that's where the car is. The engine's still running. I got a hot tailpipe that suddenly is sparking a fire in this.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So.
What happened with the fire?
Well, no, we were able to put it out. We stamped it out. I said to Rudy, I said, you put that fire. I said, if you don't, I said, I'm going to use you as a human fire. I said, I'm going to use you as a blanket. I'm just going to roll you in that fire until it's out. I don't care if you burn alive.
Wow. We're talking with Charlie LaFountain about his experience with texting and driving. That is the most outrageous. That's mental illness, though.
Well, that woman was out of her mind.
But it was texting. It was brought on by texting. It was brought on by, it was like road rage brought on by texting, as she was upset with this guy that told her to get lost or something by way of text. She found them on the freeway, tried, and then it was road rage from there on out.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was it, man. It was texting, but then more road rage, I'd say.
Does that make it relevant?
Oh, probably not. I don't know. That's the most insane story I've ever heard. I mean, she was texting. Obviously, he was harmed by this texting. The guys that were with him. We're going to have to talk with Charlie LaFountain more about this when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Then we'll talk with Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What are they doing about texters that drive? And, you know, what other things, what other precautions can be put into place to help make driving safer for all of us out there? And, of course, you know, the bottom line is it's just common sense. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to be a sensible person? Or are you going to be, as we like to say around here, folks, are you going to be just about 100 yards a dumbass? We'll find out. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com at 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445.
Hey,
Hey, the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and on the air in your town. If we're not on the air in your town, people will say, how do we get your show, Phil? I said, well, you go to the local radio station, say, would you please put the Phil Henry Show on? And the guy goes, oh, well, you know, we don't, we're going to put on a Bruce Williams. Then picket them, as you're right, have big signs saying, we want good radio, we want good radio. And the guy will come out and try and be a smartass and say, we have good radio, Phil Henry isn't, and say, no, man, you're too lame for this room, and this is Des Moines. Stuff like that. No, what you can do is just say, would you put the Phil Henry Show on? Keep bothering them until they either are fired or quit or put the show on. That's all there is to it. In the meantime, you can check us out online at philhenryshow.com. Philhenryshow.com is our website. We have live streaming video of our show each and every night. If it wasn't for a live streaming video of the show, my close personal friend Lauren would not have texted me, hey, dumbass, your audio is muted. And she cares about it. She's a nice lady, and she likes me. And it was like, dumbass, hey, dumbass, hey, dumbass, hey, dumbass. It's about six of them.
Really? That's what she was saying?
Yeah. Hey, no, I'm kidding. No, she wasn't. But if she had, I would have understood it, you know.
Because I was about to do that.
What do you mean you were about to do it?
You'll notice I went to the bathroom for a good portion of that, and I didn't hear anything. So I started to write, hey, dumbass, hey, and then I thought, no, you know what? I'm going to let Phil sink or swim on this one.
Well, thank you very much.
What an idiot! You could have got...
What did you call...
Hey, watch it.
You call me idiot.
Don't call names, bud. And you don't call names.
You should have come in and helped him out. Instead, you let Mr. Henry twist in a breeze. And now, to hell with it.
Excuse me, what's your language?
I don't blame him for being frustrated. I don't blame him at all. You could have come in and helped this out. You're sitting on the toilet doing what?
I was reading Reader's Digest, the word power. You know, I mean, I didn't... Forget it.
Oh, well, Margaret, don't pretend like it's really frustrating for you, okay?
I'm sitting on the can. I've got a Reader's Digest in one hand. Do you want to know what I've got in the other?
No.
And I'm listening, and I'm not hearing anything, and I'm thinking, I'll bet that stumbling, muttering, that it's not, you know, he didn't mute it, or whatever you call it.
I had it muted.
You had what muted?
The what you're talking about.
Oh, yes. So I'm sitting on the can. I'm reading Word Power, which you know I like.
Well, I don't want to interrupt your Word Power, Margaret.
I couldn't go anywhere. If I had, I would have walked into your studio. Well, let me put it this way. There wouldn't have been just toilet paper hanging out.
Oh, God.
Man, you ought to put it so graphically. You should not say it graphically.
Well, Phil's forcing me into it.
All right, I got your story. I don't need the particulars. Okay, I don't need the particulars. I'm telling you, we got to start working together around here, man. Now, I love my radio listeners. They are a very important part of what we do. My subscribers are the world to me. And if they're sitting there paying good, hard-earned money, and they're looking at me going, my mouth is moving, and there's nothing coming out, I don't blame them for getting angry.
Well, don't kiss too much ass, Phil. I mean...
What are you talking about, man? I'm talking to these guys. I get frustrated right alongside of them. All right, in any event, let's get Jay Santos in here, okay? Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a great resource when we talk about these issues regarding safety and all of these other things that have so much to do with the way we're living here in the 21st century, the new media, the new technologies, the new ways of communicating. In so many ways, we're safer. And in so many ways, we're less safe. Jay, how are you tonight?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing real good, and I do want to, I want to echo what you just said there
about being less safe.
Absolutely true. In many ways, as you said, Phil, we are more safe, and in many ways, we are less safe. And that is, Citizens Auxiliary Police. We try to stress that with all of our new sub commanders, as well as radio commanders and cadet commanders. We try to tell them. That even though we do have cell phones, even though and everyone is pretty well in touch with police services as well as their parents or if they need their husband or wife, that even though we have that kind of communication, we are still sort of pretty much adrift out there in a world, in a world of hurt, you know, as my father used to say. My dad used to say to me, if I come home late with a car, he said, you're going to be a world of hurt. My dad came from Florida, and he used to say, you'd be a hurting gator. you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
You got a question? Or?
I didn't. What do you mean by that?
Joe said he knew what I meant.
I know what you mean, you know, but you're saying you're out there by yourself.
Yeah, you're out there by yourself, and if you don't have a cell phone or communication, you can be in some very, very serious trouble. And what we're doing with Operation Stony Brook, with Operation Market Garden 2, with Operation Normandy Push.
Can I ask you something? Your name is Normandy Push and Operation Market Garden 2?
That's correct, yeah.
Those were World War II.
World War II what?
Those were World War II operations, I guess you could say.
Well, I'm not familiar with that. I'm just telling you, Market Garden. Market Garden was the big one. Market Garden is when we did a full sweep down to the mall. We went way down to Excelsior Mall, and then we hung right, and we went on into the subdivision there, and we were able to find a lot of cell phones with a lot of texts and a lot of meaningless gobbledygook on those things. That was Market Garden. Operation Normandy Push, following D-Day.
You know what D-Day is, right?
I know that D-Day, yeah, that one I know. Well, wow, so we named it after D-Day, yeah.
World War II D-Day.
Yeah. But Normandy Push, we didn't.
Well, D-Day was in Normandy.
Well, I don't know what your point is.
Phil, you might as well let it go, you know.
You're right, you're right. Okay, so tell me about what you did with Operation Market Garden 2 and Normandy Push.
Well, first of all, we earmarked one area as Benghazi, and the other we earmarked as... the other one we earmarked at El Alamein. Now, El Alamein...
But see, all of these World War II references, I can't... I find it difficult to understand...
What are you talking about? God!
El Alamein, Normandy Push, Market Garden, Benghazi. I mean, these are all areas of battles, of big battles, of primary battles and operations in World War II.
I never heard of any of them. And I think, Mr. Renner, what you're doing is you're distracting me away from saying to your audience what needs to be said, which is that we went down during Operation Market Garden... And we went down there, and we took all those cell phones, and we looked at the messages on those cell phones, and we went ahead and read them out, and
You kept track of them.
We kept track of them, and meaningless gobbledygook. Hi, Mom, I'm having fun. I understand that kids need to communicate with their parents, but what Operation Market Garden taught me more than anything else...
Hold on for a minute. I can't take this. I'll see you later.
Are you trying...
I understand. It's...
Jay Santos is another idiot. I don't know why we... Operation Market Garden, El Alamein. This is what he's using for his Citizens Auxiliary Police. And he's taking away these cell phones and he's looking at the messages on them?
Yeah, he said he's looking at messages to see if there's anything dirty. Because he says the dirty ones are the worst ones that you can do.
Is that right? Meaning what?
Well, they're the most distracting. So if you distract somebody with a picture like boob, you know, you send a boob, well...
If you send a boob shot, excuse my language, it'll cause a man to do unspeakable acts.
All right, well, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and figure out what those unspeakable acts could possibly be. 855-500-7445. It is Friday night of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I said Friday night. I didn't mean to say it that way, but you know what I mean. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and Friday night it is, Saturday morning now on the East Coast. It's great to be with you guys, and we have so many exciting things happening. One of them, we're back on the air in the Phil Hendry Show returns to Sacramento, the great market of Sacramento, California, the capital of the Golden State.
That's Florida.
No, that ain't Florida, man. Florida's the Sunshine State.
I wonder why they don't call California the Sunshine State.
Oh, I got a great reason why they don't call California the Sunshine State. Because there hasn't been any sun around here, man, in months.
Well, I mean, you can't...
Yes, I can. There hasn't been any... Today and this past... Today, it's been hotter than hell, man. We're down at the... We're a block away from the sand and the ocean here at the El Pacifico, the international headquarters of the Phil Hendry Show. And there has been no sun, man, for a long time. It was cold. I got to tell you something. Like, last month, I thought about turning the heater on. I'd never done that in the summertime. Never. And last month I thought, you know, it's cold in this place, man. I think I better turn the heater on. And today, it is a killer. If we can feel it down here, it in L.A., it must be like a scorcher.
Yeah, it says probably it's pretty hot. Well, how hot? I don't know, like 100 degrees or something?
That ain't hot, man. If they're talking about hot, it's got to be over 100.
Well, it's probably about 102 or 3, something like that. Generally, in the valley, it gets... Now, the rest of the country, you have heat waves, too. It's far worse.
How come it's hot, like in North Dakota?
How come it's hot in North Dakota?
Yeah.
Because it gets hot in North Dakota, that's why.
Yeah, but then it snows.
I know, it gets hot in places that it snows.
Why not here?
It gets hot here and it don't snow here.
What?
You see the ring? I'm not turning the ring around, bud. When I hit you, there's going to be a dent right in your face.
Oh, I'm asking about why it's not hot.
It is hot. It's hotter than hell right now. And here in our studios at the El Pacifico, it's boiling hot. And the reason why is people ask me every summer, how come you always complain about the... Because we don't put any air on in this joint because we don't usually need it. In the studio, we don't usually need air conditioning because it is a... First of all, it's very loud. You have to soundproof the hell out of the place to get any direct air pouring in here. I don't need a whole bunch of noise because then it's you know, it's a bunch of technical bullcrap. Anyway, good of you guys to join us here on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Now, President Barack Obama has talked about the U.S. obligation to act on Syria. Now, not that I'm all that... Not that I really am all that interested in it, because I've already made, you know, given my opinion on this, and that is, and it's a meaningless opinion, because it's the opinion of a talk show host, and there is nothing more meaningless in this world than a talk show host's opinion.
Phil, that is ridiculous. If your opinion is supposed to count, that's why people are listening.
Well, I don't know, man, you know.
Yeah, that's why they listen.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. It's very nice of you to say, but I don't think people listen just to hear my opinion. You know, I mean, it's in my opinion, excuse me for saying that, if I may be so, if I may be coin a phrase or, you know, create a pun, I don't think they should. I think people should form their own opinions based upon
the opinions that they hear.
Right, but not necessarily a talk show host's opinion, because it is it's a meaningless opinion. I just feel that it is. And it's one that is, you know, there's far too many guys out there with these meaningless opinions. So, what do you want from me? Talk show hosts are a dime a dozen. We need to hear from the American people. We need to hear from the we need to hear from the people that matter, and those are the American people. And of course, I guess you might want to say they are the real people that count. Lloyd Bonafide is a longtime listener of our show. He's also a man who's a Korean War veteran, and he is joining us here from his home in Alhambra, California. Lloyd, when you see these difficult times that we're engaged in these days, when you see and you hear about America going through so many things that she went through, when you were a young man, and that you did go into uniform over, and that you did... you know, fight for this country over. How do you feel? Has America gotten better? Has it gotten worse?
Well, you know, Phil, it's a very interesting question. I was a Korean War veteran. I would say, on the whole, the country is about the same as it was when I was fighting, and meaning it's a great country. It was a great country then, and it's a great country now. The only area that I would agree with you on, and I don't mean that I disagree with you, Phil, but there's an area that I strongly agree with you on, and that is the area of the talk radio, the talk radio that I listen to and my wife listens to, and we listen to it religiously. We listen to the Elbow Peep Show. We listen to Jeff Bonaparte. We love your program. We love Mary Ellen Ritchie and the Dog Brothers and Lorenzo Grafton, who is a wonderful and very educated man.
Now, what station are you listening to?
Well, we listen to a station called Cool Breeze 101, and it's out of San Bernardino.
And is this a talk station?
Well, it appears to be a talk station. They play music, but it's nothing that really distracts you because you're back into the talk programming, you know?
But they play records.
They seem to play records, yeah, but no one cares. And I don't mean that to be insulting, but I was listening to the who is that, honey? Jefferson Swenson. He's an African-American chap. He's very, very good, and he's on when most of the African-American talk show hosts are on.
Well, when is that?
Well, midnight to 6.
Well, that's not when most of them are on.
Well, that's... It started out as a pretty sick and disgusting joke, you know, midnight, you know, and now that's where...
No, I don't know, although I don't doubt that there is a high level of racism in radio like there is anywhere else, but I would... Larry Elder did Afternoon Drive, you know, there's a lot of... Ralph from Ben Hill, all these guys that I know are not necessarily overnight guys.
Well, the black hosts that I've heard and the ones that I really enjoy, the talk because I have bad insomnia and I can't sleep for days on end. There are some nights I wake up and I'm going through it, and I've been to the VA for this, but I can see a Chinese guy in a Jeep coming my way with a smile on his face, and that I just see that in my dreams. And I went to the VA for it, and they asked me the typical questions: had you seen Star Trek? And,
you know, this Mr. Spock haircut thing...
Well, you know, I'm real sorry that it doesn't quite jibe with your reality, Phil.
Well, this is what I'm saying. You and the Mr. Spock haircut, and the next thing you know, you're seeing it in your dream, and it's a Chinese soldier, and it's Korea. I think it's your little subtle way of pushing a little racism in there.
No, it's not my little subtle way of anything. I'm telling you, I have to go to the VA because I've got dramatic stress... Post disorder.
It's, what is it called, dramatic?
Yes, it's called dramatic stress disorder.
No, it is not, sir.
Oh, you're telling me?
Yes, sir, it's post-traumatic stress disorder.
What? Who? There's not a man, there's not a swinging you-know-what that understands that. It would take every man and a couple of women, too, to even figure you out, let alone what you just said. And I will tell you this, Phil, I love my country. But the talk radio shows that I listen to are strictly from hunger.
All right, let's be back with Lloyd Bonafide as we talk about America today and then, and America's obligations around the world. What I want to get to here is a discussion of America's obligations in terms of her military commitment and whether or not this is a country that can afford the kinds of military engagement, some people might even say military adventures, that she has been involved in the past.
Why call she?
Because that's how you refer to your country, she. It's a very affectionate way, say she, her flag.
Well, I knew that about ships, I didn't know that about countries.
The country ought to be a he, like a ship would be a she.
Yeah, well, no, they're all she, okay? Anyway, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, the country ought to be a he. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Lloyd Bonafide joining us from Alhambra, California. Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, Margaret Gray here in our panel this evening as we talk about President Obama. And today he made the statement that the U.S. has obligations as a world leader to act on Syria. And, if a Republican president had said that, I don't doubt that there would be almost a majority of Republicans that would be agreeing with that. Because it's Barack Obama, you know, he's leading the country into disaster. I mean, it's so disingenuous. I think people get really tired of the hypocrisy. I think the voters have had it, you know, and I think Washington is way, 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 you know, like jacked over, you know.
Well, that was really intelligent.
Well,
yeah, being jacked over.
All right, let me get on the line. Excuse me, I didn't mean to be so, I didn't mean to dumb the show down. Lloyd on the line with us. Lloyd, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing good, and if you would allow me, I was making myself a banana protein. When I put in the banana, I heard Harvey Weinman mention banana, and I don't know anything about going after an old woman with a banana. That, to me, I would have killed that man.
Now, that was weird.
But I'm making... When I hit the blender, it means that you are losing control of the show, and the things you're saying are... It's
Will you allow me to do that?
What? What is he saying?
He's saying, Phil, that it may be your show, but a lot of the things you say bore people to tears.
Yes, and I want to alert you to that.
So this is another segment where we humiliate Phil.
Oh, come on, will you, for God's sake? I survived. You don't want me to say it, but I'm going to say it. I survived seeing a whole lot of guys with Mo Howard haircuts coming at me.
I'm going to tell you something right now. No more Spock haircuts, no more Mo Howard, no bull haircut, nothing. Do you understand?
All right, fine.
I'm sick and tired of listening to this kind of thing on this program, and...
I'm sorry, but I told you, you know, that hit the blender, and I did.
All right, so U.S. President Obama, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this here. Our number is 855-500-7445. President Barack Obama says he recognizes the world and the U.S. are war-weary in the face of potential military action against Syria. Yes, we are. War-weary is a very good way of putting things. But, he says that the United States has an obligation as a leader in the world to hold countries accountable if they violate international norms. Obama says he has strong preference for multilateral action, but he says, quote, we don't want the world to be paralyzed. Obama's comments came as his administration made its intelligence case against the regime of Syrian President Bashar Assad for a chemical attack against civilians. Earlier this month, Secretary of State John Kerry said Friday that the U.S. knows the Syrian regime carefully prepared for days to launch a chemical weapons attack that killed 1,400 people. Why do the Syrians do that when they know full well that the world is going to see it and is going to react?
Well, because what they're doing is they're thumbing their noses at Uncle Sam. These people and these Arabs, they think their stuff, if ever there was a people put on the face of the earth that are begging for it, it's these Arabs. And I've never seen people that are asking for it. And you know, you love to say, when the guy says, You want $300 worth, every penny. Well, that the Arab, that's the guy who's already had his face beat in and beat in and beat in until it's just a big balloon face, and now he's going every penny. You know, the way the guy slobbered it? You know, Phil?
Yes, I know. God, I'm so sorry I ever brought that up.
Well, what, is it making you a little sick? Now you know what war is, boy. I'll tell you that.
Well, Lloyd, you're not actually saying that the Arab people are that way.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the Arab governments, because they don't care about their people, they'll throw them into a meat grinder, pretty as you please. And what are they doing? They're sitting in a tent. They're eating food from the plate, and the women, you know, you don't know about the Arab culture. I do. I've studied it. And the guys that run the countries down there sit on one leg, and the other leg is up. There's a plate with some kind of, I wouldn't touch it with your mouth, but it's some kind of food.
You don't need to be insulting, Lloyd. You know, he's talking about...
He's talking about traditional, like, North African food that they eat with their fingers.
Oh, hold on for a minute, okay? If you want to start talking about eating with your fingers, I'd watch my language if I were you. Who did that?
It was Bud.
Tell it to shut up.
Sorry, that was funny when you said...
Yeah, well, you thought it was... I'm telling you, when you talk to me, be careful how you say they're eating it with their fingers, okay? Because when I was in Korea, I had a woman cheat on me, and it still hurts.
What's that got to do with the phrase eat? Well?
Just...
Lloyd, you make everything filthy. Do you know that?
You know, since you said it, sister, I'm going to have that embroidered on a doily. I'm going to have Marjorie embroider it on a doily, and it'll be in my living room because you said it. So I'm proud of that.
That's fine. You can be proud of being a pig, but I'm still saying it.
Fine. You keep saying it. That's one more doily for Marjorie. You're making that woman... Did you hear what I said, honey? Yeah, a doily. It says you're a filthy... I forget what she said. Just something about me being a pig. We are already working on one? Great. Now, Phil...
All right, let's get back to the point here. So, the Arab, in your opinion...
Oh, hold on. Wait. Before we go any further, the Arab leader sits in a tent, and he has, if you've heard this, where's that music that I bought at the swap meet, honey? I don't have it, but it goes right, have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I've heard that in every cartoon about Arabs that I've ever seen.
Oh, see, it's
think I'm engaging in a stereotype, huh?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. What do you mean?
That's what they do. Did you see this guy, Commander Hodafi? Or Commander God, what was his name? Commander Hodafi, yeah.
You're talking about Muammar Gaddafi.
Yeah, that's the guy. That guy sat in a tent. He wore a Bedouin tribesman bedsheet. He had a napkin on his head, or whatever they wear. Some of them use a bath mat, some use a bath towel, other guys wear a napkin, and some use a full towel. And
what are you talking about? Are you talking... The Arab countries right now, as they exist, you have Iraq, which is trying to push its way toward democracy. You have Lebanon, which in its own way has a parliamentary process that is very heavily influenced by the autocracy of the Arab countries. You have Syria, which is a straight-out fascist regime. You have the same thing that has existed for years in Egypt. They're trying to fight their way toward a democratic model. You've got another autocratic system in Saudi Arabia. This is a part of the world that has been forced from its Bedouin tribal traditions in the course of two world wars into these sort of nation states. They had to cobble together all these tribes.
Well, that's the other thing about tribes. You know, I get real sick and tired of being told what to do by tribes. Now, tribes are tribes. They are collections of people, and the guy that leads them is on a horse, and they live in tents. And and the Western countries act as if these guys, that they've got the nuclear arsenal. You know, that they got a nuclear rocket shoved up one of their camels, you know what, and they don't have anything.
I think what it was, Lloyd, was an attempt to respect the people of that part of the world after they had lent their assistance in defeating Germany and Austria and the Turks in World War I. And they really didn't get what they wanted, so they started playing ball with Hitler.
Well, yeah. What does that tell you?
But you don't understand the history of this whole thing.
So what are you trying to tell me, man? Because these people were hurt by the British, and they didn't do what they wanted them to do, so they played ball with Hitler, and now we're supposed to bend over and point to our own rear ends and hand the Vaseline back to this guy Assad, who's the weirdest-looking guy I ever saw in my... That guy has no chin. His head starts, it goes down to the neck... There's no difference between the neck and the head. And I wrote to my congressman, I talked to Mike Donnelly, who's also our assemblyman.
About what?
What's that?
About what?
About this guy that we're fighting that has basically a neck that turns into a head. Now, you know...
All right, we'll be back with Lloyd Bonafide.
It's not time to break yet, Phil.
Well, okay, but I can't listen to that ass.
Well, what's he saying?
Well, he's saying what's basically true about the Arab people is that, yes, if you saw Lawrence of Arabia, they pretty much laid it out for you, that the British used the Arab tribes to help defeat the Turks. And they did not come through the way they should have for the Arab people. The British used them and then colonized them and dictated to them how things were going to go, and it was a bad thing. Now comes World War II. The last people they're going to trust are the British, because they know what happened when they did that. So along comes Hitler. And they got even dumber. The Arabs didn't make any decision that made them a smarter people. They made a decision that took them further down Dumb Boulevard. You know, and that was, you know, hanging with Adolfsky. He gets his ass kicked. So it doesn't matter whether the Arabs are hanging with a guy that wins or loses, because they're always on the losing end. And so they line up with the Russians and the commies, and they get their asses handed to them that time, too.
Well, they are dumb then.
No, they're not dumb. They just, every time they turn around and try to trust somebody from outside of their region, they wind up taking it in the shorts. And really what they have to do, man, is they got to start handling things for themselves. But do it in a moral way. Do it in a smart way. Do it in a friendly way. Do it in a way that the whole world gets an equal shot. Anybody screws with them, well, then they have some recourse. But they react in these crazy, pissed off ways. They get into bed with terrorists. Then they don't want to do that. Then they, you know...
What about the guy with no, that doesn't have a head?
He has a head. His neck turned it. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show every night here till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And don't forget, we have a classic podcast available to you guys each and every day on the Sideshow Network. We have as well our daily show podcast that's available at philhenryshow.com. Just get a backstage pass, the classic podcast, the daily videocast, 5,000 hours of show audio. As a matter of fact, we figured it out. You can't. It would take you 6 months of solid listening to get through our archives. That means not breaking for a bathroom, not breaking for food.
That means you can't eat and you can't go to the bathroom.
Exactly. Exactly.
Margaret would never be able to do it.
No, I wouldn't. Why would I want to? Why would I want to put myself through the torture of listening to you for 5,000 hours? Not going to the bathroom.
Probably too much to do, huh?
Don't get smart.
All right. Well, the point being that with a backstage pass, you get all of that and more. So check it out, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We have with us Lloyd Bonafide as we continue talking about America in the modern era as opposed to when the country had come out of World War II. Lloyd is a Korean War veteran. Joining here now on our other newsmaker line is Dean Wheeler, a modern-day, progressive. We've talked with Dean on these issues. How are you, Dean?
I'm very good, Phil. Before we launch into anything political, I wanted to... Dean, how are you? It's Lloyd Bonafide. Hey, Lloyd, it's great to talk to you. I haven't talked in a long time. I'm looking forward to it, my friend. Phil, I wanted to ask you, have you ever heard, because I was reminded of this, there's some very great products that you're advertising for men, male enhancement, male health.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Terry Ovine's Love Rocket? Terry Ovine's Love Rocket Fuel in the little green pill. Have you heard of that? Maybe I've heard of it. You have heard of that, Lloyd? Yes, have you heard of it, Phil? Terry Ovine's Love Rocket in the little green pill, or Terry Ovine's Love Rocket Fuel in the little green pill, or sometimes it's known as Terry Ovine's Love Pump, something like that.
No, I've never heard of it.
Never. You know something, on second thought, I've ever heard of it either. Well, I have, and I'm so grateful that you advertise legitimate products on your program, because this thing, I took handfuls of this stuff when Emerelda and I were due to go on a cruise. And I was going to go to the doctor, and I was going to get the usual, we run a holistic center here, and I do believe in the purification and the purity of the body. And so I decided I would go organic. I really believe in what Gypsy Boots used to say, don't panic, think organic.
Yeah.
And so, who was the guy? Gypsy Boots.
Tell you what, Lloyd, just let him finish, and then we're going to get back into our discussion.
All right. And so I went with this Mrs. Terry Ovine's Love Rocket and a little green pill, and I got into a panic, in fact, because I took the recommended amount was to take 3 before lovemaking, take another 3 a half hour into lovemaking, and you're good to go, is what the guy said to me. I said, all right. Well, nothing, it was like the reverse. Not only did it not work, but I'm telling you, and I'm putting this the best way I can, it was smaller.
This was a sort of a male enhancement pill?
It wasn't sort of a male enhancement pill, it was. It doesn't sound like it to me, friend. You don't want me to say anything.
Hold on. Okay, so this thing was supposed to work the way, like, say, Viagra?
Yes, exactly. It was supposed to work like Viagra, and not only did it not work, but I looked in the mirror and I thought, my God, it's almost disappeared.
And you're kidding!
No, and I had Emerelda waiting in the cabin. We had—it was our first night on the cruise. We had just danced the night away at the captain's table, and it was going to be the big night, And she was in a flimsy-looking. She had on something that I swear to God, it would make the guy that designs for Fredericks of Hollywood. It would make him hide with fear and shame if he ever saw what she was wearing. Pretty hot, was it? Yes, but we're talking about my wife's, and please have respect.
Okay, so the way it works, my understanding is that any male enhancement pill will work, but you have to be you have to be excited by the woman you're with.
Well, I am excited by Emerelda. I am. I love her.
You may love her, but are you, you know, turned on by her?
Well, I'm a man, Phil, and we're supposed to be... I could get turned on by a camel, by... I'm a man. Have you... Well, hold the phone. Turned on by a camel?
Hold on for a minute, Lloyd. No, that's not how it works. Just because we're men doesn't necessarily mean that. You know, you can be with... same thing happened to a friend of mine. This dude went out on a cruise with his wife. He took some kind of a pill. He said it didn't work. And I said, well, I didn't know, you know. And I started asking around. And they said, if you're not turned on, none of those pills will work.
Well, what about it going in reverse? That's the part that scares me. Let me ask you... I'm sorry, I got to ask you something, Dean. Once it went in reverse and then the effects wore off, is it still small? I think it is. I think it's still a good inch and a half smaller than it was.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. I hope I don't run into... I think he hung up on you, Phil.
No, no kidding. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Did you hear he issued a threat there?
What did he say?
He said he doesn't want to run into you on a cold, lonely night coming out of the sun or something. That didn't sound like a threat so much as a pickup. I think he was saying he'll, in a very hostile way, try to pick you up coming out of a sauna.
In a very hostile way?
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's what I heard.
I heard him say, I don't give a damn, you know, whatever he said. Dean, I'm sorry, pal, but, you know, you get what you pay for. Terry Ovine's Love Rocket.
In the little green pill, I was trying to look it up online. I've never heard of it. It sounds like someone was peddling it out of the trunk of a car. Isn't that what he said, Lloyd?
Well, he said that he purchased it from a guy. He was at an AA meeting. And he got out of the AA meeting, and there were some guys with the trunk of their car open and a couple of flashlights. Well, naturally, Dean, being inquisitive, walked over there, and they were showing pairs of jeans. And Dean immediately recognized the stuff's hot because, you know, he's been to prison.
Right.
And they said, hey, you want to buy it? He says, well, you guys got hot. You know, it's hot. And they said, what about Terry Ovine's Love Rocket and the little green pill? And he said, what do you got? And they lifted one of the jean legs.
Well, what is this Terry Ovine? Is this stuff they're selling out of the trunk of a car?
Yeah, they're selling these two guys. He recognized these two guys as ex-cons right away because he said he recognized one of them from Plackerville.
What the hell is with Dean, man? I thought that guy has long ago been out of prison.
Well, yeah, but he was in. He was inside for a while. It was right after he beat up Emeralda. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that. I didn't know him then. I've only met Dean since he's cooled out and since he's become Mr. Holistic Yoga Buddhist.
Uh-huh. Okay, you go ahead and you buy that. You buy into that little fairy tale. I knew this guy when he was a bad man. He was bad.
All right, we got Dean back on the line with us. Dean, I'm sorry, Dean. I should have been a little bit kinder.
That's okay. I feel better now.
You knew him when he was bad.
I'm telling you. All I'm saying, Phil, is that I am really, really, I'm worried. Because when I took Mrs. Terry Ovine, I don't know who this bitch is, and I couldn't care less if she lived or died, but her pill has shrunk my penis. Okay, there? Is that fine there? I said it.
Well, all right. If it is covered by the FDA, and if obviously there is a claim to be made, did you go to the doctor?
I went to the doctor, yeah, and he said to me, Dean, what do you want? And I said, I think my penis is about an inch and a half smaller than it was. And he said, well, why do you think that, Dean? And he's looking at me like I came right out of the carnival tent. He's looking at me like I drove...
Okay, I understand. He's looking at you weird.
Right, and so I said, isn't there a way you can track it? He says, no, Dean, we don't track the size of your penis. Said we usually track weight, we usually track height when it comes to children, but penis size, no, we pretty much figure that stays the same. I said, well, I got a newsflash for you, Doc. No, it don't. And that's when he started to bring up my past. He said, aren't you the ex-con? And I said, yeah.
Why'd he bring that up?
Well, he thinks that I'm nuts. He thinks that I was inside so long drinking that homebrew that I'm hallucinating my penis shrinking.
Did you tell him about this Terry Ovine?
Oh, no, no, I would never do that.
Why not, man? You got a concern about this stuff that may be harming you.
I can't. I bought it off these two guys. I knew one of these guys from Folsom and another guy from Plankerville. Back when you were a real bad man, right? Uh-huh. Boy.
All right. Listen, gentlemen, thank you very, very much for your insight into President Obama and Syria. We talked about male enhancement drugs, prison, a guy's penis shrinking.
You never did get to Syria. I think that is, you've got to change that.
Yeah, somehow, Mr. Henry, you got to start talking about the stuff you say you will.
Yes, well, we'll work on that. Anyway, we'll be back here, 855-500-7445. A beautiful Friday night's going to get more beautiful, man, as the weekend proceeds here. And there is a saying that we live by here. You just said something you got to back up on. You're telling me a gumball machine isn't dangerous. You'll see that there on our website, philhenryshow.com. I don't know. It was just something that popped up there on the screen. Stick around. Final segment here of the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass at the digital headquarters of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And, Bud, you know what? You're going to do bumper music, man. Make that stuff kick-ass, will you?
Bud, this is Nirvana.
I don't give a damn if it's Nirvana. I don't want this stuff coming in like it's, you know. Give me some rock and roll here, all right?
Well, God, Phil, Nirvana's rock and roll.
I don't want... I'm not knocking Nirvana. It's great music. I'm saying that we need a little ass-kicking music. That's all, okay? All right. Anyway, welcome back here, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. It's great to be with all of you guys. We do have coming up here a Labor Day weekend, and probably what we're going to want to do in the... What is this?
This kicks ass.
Well, don't be trying out your bumper... This kicks ass? Pat Benatar? Many times turn that off.
Well, maybe not. That don't kick ass, man. Are you nuts?
What is it with you, man? You used to listen to some really good music.
I don't know.
You're weird, man. I think your taste in music has gone straight downhill, man, right into the crapper. All right, so in any event, we do have a Labor Day weekend that's going to be coming up, and we're going to want to, of course, with a lot of you... Oh, yeah, this is fantastic, bud.
Ain't that kick-ass?
Stop experimenting with the bumper music. I got stuff I got to do. It sucks, and I'll show you what I mean when the show's done, okay?
Yeah.
Like I say, you used to know. What happened to the days when you had AC/DC, you had Metallica, you had Cirith Ungol standing in blood? You had some great stuff.
Well, I don't know.
Viper?
Yeah, man, what happened to your Viper CD? Viper? That's old hat. I'm moving on to more better things.
Yeah, uh-huh. What was that you just played?
One Republic.
One Republic? You know, you're getting worse. I mean, Viper's not necessarily my first choice, but from Viper to, oh boy. All right, so it is a holiday weekend coming up. Don't play anymore, bud, okay? I don't want to hear you. It is the Labor Day weekend coming up and my birthday. And so this coming Monday, we will not be in studio. It will, in fact, be one of our best of, but we're going to still have our podcasts. We will have our classic podcast for you on Monday. So that'll be a lot of fun, and we certainly do hope that you guys will be sticking around for that. And join us throughout the weekend. Anytime you want something really cool to listen to, check us out at philhenryshow.com. Our podcast, by the way, you can hear on the Sideshow Network and the Bobby Dooley podcast, which is a very interesting podcast. Bobby Dooley, and she just did what, Margaret?
Well, she just did part two of her Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins and Bobby got together. That is a scream. Bobby has interviewed such notables as Patty Arquette, Joel McHale, and Sugar Ray Leonard. And each one of these is unique in its weirdness. So also Craig Bierko, also Kevin Pollak, also Jimmy Pardo, right?
Jimmy Pardo, Rick Overton, two great comics. Just a lot of really... Jay Moore.
Jay Moore. That was one for the books, the Jay Moore-Bobby Dooley podcast, when Jay... threatened to kidnap Bobby, shove her face first down into the vinyl seats of a dirty cab, take her to Oakland to a motel, and have his way with her. That was a two-parter, too.
Yeah, a lot of two-parter on Bobby Dooley.
So you got to check out the Bobby Dooley podcast. That also is available at the Sideshow Network, as well as SoundCloud and wherever fine podcasts are heard. That's a great one. We also have philhenryradio.com. This is a website where you can go and listen to live streaming archived radio, and also get a list of all of our podcasts. Those are all there at philhenryradio.com. All right, so just kind of recapping the whole controversy about the spying, domestic spying. As you know, on the show, we often recap our first hour because we know that people are changing their listening. Recapping domestic spying, that the national, you know, security agency, that all of these different spy agencies are getting together and spying the American people. It was all kind of a I don't know. It's a what is it called? Yeah, Patriot Act. It was all part of the Patriot Act. And what are you guys doing anyway?
I'm looking for the alarm.
You gotta get the Bohr alarm out because that was what they wanted us to do.
The Bohr alarm, huh? What's that?
That was the blender, right?
Yeah. Every time you hear the blender,
get out of here with that, will you? What do you mean the Bohr alarm?
Man, you're talking about, who cares, man? Nobody cared about that no more.
Well, I care about it, okay? I wanted to recap what was happening.
I'm sorry, but it went off.
I wanted to recap what was happening and the...
Phil, we're not doing it.
Well, who put that in? I guess that's some kind of an automated thing, huh? All right, so...
Yeah, you got to get more exciting, get more interesting.
What do you mean,
get more interesting? Are you going to hear that? That's automated, Phil. I don't want to hear that in my... Oh, God, my God, would you come on and say something? Say something.
So anyway, I was born in... did you guys ever see... Get out of here with that.
I don't know. Pull a plug on it. Okay, man, here we go. I'm going to pull the plug. Yep.
Who installed that?
David.
Very, very nice to know that you got confidence in me, David. That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Unreal. Okay, the world-famous Phil Henry Show out here on the El Pacifico, where it is 8 billion degrees and getting hotter by the second. I want to thank all of our advertisers and our affiliates and our listeners. Again, my apologies, you guys, this evening for the muted speaker, or rather, I should say the muted audio that that we dealt with. And I went into this whole rant about technical aspects and radio and technical support and stuff that you just don't want to hear. But if you really want to hear it, it was off air and it's available on our podcast, on our videocast in the archives. And I don't necessarily go into those things just to, you know, just to be able to say, hey, listen to it on the videocast archive. But hey, listen to it on the videocast archive, you know. So it's been one of those nights, and it has been one of those weeks, concluding the third week of reboot here of the world famous Phil Henry Show. And it's, to me, it's been a fantastic time, man.
Sorry.
To me, it's been a fantastic time getting the show back up and running and, back into everybody's homes. It's just been great. And, we really do appreciate that. We want you to be careful while you're driving this weekend. It is a holiday weekend, and as you know, traditionally here in the United States, holiday weekends often represent fatalities.
That is right. Everyone, please drive carefully. Don't text when you drive, because you heard the story that Phil, a man lost his leg, and a woman lost her leg. And before Bud says anything, and I don't think it's funny, yes, the leg he lost was his. And the leg the woman lost.
Why are you saying that?
Because of this idiot here. The leg she lost was her leg, right?
No, it was his leg that she lost.
Are you trying to piss me off?
Look at Margaret. If you're worried about Bud, just never mind.
They lost their legs in an accident with a jackass that was texting. So please don't text and drive. And if you know that you're texting an individual that's driving, please stop. Because that also is very, very dangerous.
Exactly. And it is, as we say, a holiday weekend. So these terrible tragedies often take place when we have a lot of people out on the road. Don't drink and drive. It's brutal. Did you see that? Did you guys see that video of, I think I talked about it. I don't know if I talked about it or if I had just if I had just talked about it on the pre-show. But there was a video cast of a group of people in a boat last year, Labor Day weekend. Did you see what happened to those jackballs?
Oh, those are the people where they hit the wake.
Yeah, these. I don't think that was because they were drunk either. They were just not paying attention, and it could have been just disastrous. They were in seven people in a boat. This guy hits the wake, and everybody gets thrown out of position. And so just be careful, okay? Have a ball. Be careful. Summer's not over yet, man. Three more weeks of summer. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. The number is 855-500-7445. philhenryshow.com as well. We'll see you guys on Tuesday. Have a beautiful weekend from the El Pacifico.